Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
How
good
you guys doing?
To actually see you.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's good to see you, too. I mean, you know, I think it's been 2 years since I've been here,
been
at least.
A couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Yep.
Been in studio. We've been on the air, but not in studio.
Yeah, too long.
It's great to see you guys.
Who's this guy?
This is Mason. Mason's interning with us this summer. He goes to McPherson College in McPherson, Kansas, and he's going to be graduating next year with a automotive restoration degree.
Nice.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
Think?
I'm on the advisory board there, and I met Mason last year at the Newport Concours. He judged with us and asked him to come and be with us this summer, and he's doing a great job.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
21.
Wow.
It's the coolest internship ever.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, he's been seeing a lot of stuff. I mean, we just pulled some cars out of a barn, a couple of garages this past week. I mean, you know, unbelievable
what kind
cars. I can't say.
Right. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we're keeping it under wraps at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some unbelievable stuff. We'll let it out later.
It's amazing that they're still out there.
Absolutely.
Because you've been for over a decade.
A lot of garages out there.
Yeah.
Been finding stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. So, yeah, he's been working in the shop, you know, with all the different aspects.
What's he doing? What does he do?
Well, the first week we gave him to one of our mechanics, and he worked with him, and now he's been working with our painter and detailing cars and getting ready for car shows. So we got a lot of car shows we're going to be going to this.
Is that a lot of pressure, detailing a car with like a wheel, like you're compounding a car, and if you go a little bit too hard on the paint, there's going to be the spot.
Swirl.
And it's an original paint job. How much pressure is that?
But we don't give them a buffer to do those original job cars. They do it by hand.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's just the rule of thumb with all cars.
Our detailer, our painter really knows how to, you know,
by
handle
hand.
A buffer a lot better. So when we start them off, we start them off just by hand.
Oh, okay. So he would do it by hand, but your guy would do it with a buffer.
With original paint, yeah.
Yeah.
Newer products, it's not a problem.
There's a technique.
That's right. Finesse.
Some of those cars, the original paint, it's like they just rolled off the floor room.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a Studebaker like that. It's got 7,000 miles, 1954. It's
the red one?
Yeah.
I love that car.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
When you got it. The curb feeler still on it?
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
On the right side.
My dad loved those curb feelers.
That's wild.
Yeah.
The technology some of these cars had.
We didn't want to wipe out those wide whites.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I remember my dad had a Continental, like a 60-something Continental. It was right around the JFK year.
Okay. Yeah.
Suicide doors.
64, 63.
Yeah, and it had this device, like this giant, it looked like a rocket on the dashboard that would detect high beams coming.
That's right. Yeah.
That was.
We were like, ooh.
That was state of the art back then.
That's right. They used to have a little button on the floor that would change the radio station for you. So you push the button on the floor. You didn't have to dial it in with your hand.
Cool.
Yep.
So you could switch radio stations.
Right. Now they have it in the dashboard.
Now they have it, and it's always on PLR.
Right. Yes,
exactly.
That's right.
No
wow.
What,
why do you need that?
Every preset.
You don't need a switcher.
Number one, PLR. Number two, PLR.
So what else is happening with you?
Just busy. Gosh, it's been so busy. And, you know, COVID was actually wonderful for our business.
Wow.
We've never been so busy selling cars and restoring cars. So, yeah. And then of course, travel came back last year, and I was on the road constantly. I was in an airplane. So that's calmed down a little bit this spring.
Good.
And so doing a lot of car shows, doing the Monaco Ford car show tonight up in Glastonbury at the Irish-American home, I should say, and bringing a few cars there.
Nice.
And which ones?
All Fords?
Actually, yeah, it's Fords. Ford night.
So weird to bring a Chevy.
You'd be surprised. Hey, I took a trophy to CT Classic Chevy show one time with a Ford.
Listen, you can bring any car tonight. You know, it's a really great show.
Starts
4 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bringing, though, two Fords. I got a Elgin race car, 1934 Ford race car. And then I've got a spectacular car that was built by Rad Rods by Troy. And it had won everything. It's won Streetcar of the Year, Best in Show at SEMA. And it was in the Fast and Furious movies 7 and 8.
Oh, wow.
Get out.
Yeah. It's
your car?
It's a Talladega Torino. Yeah, I bought it bought it last year.
Talladega Torino.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
What a spectacular car.
What is the range of price? a car like that would
well,
go for?
Well, the guys probably had about $2 million into the car, and I bought it for substantially less.
Okay.
Wow.
You got a bargain.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
$2 million.
Well, you never get what you put into it, you know?
So, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But what a car.
So would that be a recommendation for anyone who's thinking, hey, you know what? I want to buy a car, but let me buy it and do it.
Well, you can. You can certainly buy something.
If you're not into redoing it.
Right.
Yeah. If you're just looking at the dollars and the cents, just buy one done.
Buy somebody else's project.
Exactly.
That's already had it. So George Poteet is the fastest piston-driven man in the world at Bonneville. He's done 487 miles an hour in a piston-driven car.
Yeah.
And so I know George very well over the years, and I went to visit him, and I bought three of his cars. And on the way out, I said, what are you going to do with the Talladega? He says, I'm going to sell it to you. Sit down. Let's talk.
Nice. And see, George had a plan.
And, that's what he does. He builds cars, he shows them, he enjoys them, and then he moves them on and gets another project.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I bought that project that he completed. But what a car. He's got a Boss 429.
Nice.
750 horsepower.
Okay.
It's like a NASCAR for the street.
Like that's, yes.
Yeah.
It's a NASCAR for the
that's
street.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You hear those numbers now. Okay, yes, there's different technology, there's different suspension, safety features, airbags.
Yeah, but these
were just rockets, like Apollo mission rockets.
This is a bare bones. You know, it's got a tubular structure. It's got roll cage inside.
Wow,
just like a NASCAR for the street.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's
can you drive
fantastic.
That? Well, are you driving it there?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
This car's been driven across the country three different times on different good guys rallies.
Is it a resto mod? Like that's like more on, like
well,
car
yeah,
stuff
I guess
it?
You could say it's really a NASCAR for the street. It's a tubular chassis.
Wow.
Everything was custom built.
Wow.
Every
you wear
earplugs
when you're driving that?
Nah.
Nah.
You know you want that, man. You want to hear it.
Yeah.
My grandson wears headphones, you know, so he's 6 years old. He's getting used to it.
Right.
We've got a lot of new cars like that that are loud, and he wears headphones, and he's fine.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And the market for cars now, nuts.
Oh,
still.
It has been. It has been. It's slowing down a little bit, but it's really, I mean, people didn't really even come and look at the cars. You know, we do a FaceTime with people, show them, do videos. And basically it was, where do I send the money and how fast can I have it in my garage?
Nice.
Was it like the housing market where people were like, you're asking, I don't know, 100 and they're like, I'll give you 130.
No, I mean, you know, we were very fair. We never bumped prices because of that. I mean, you know, we were just happy to sell the cars.
But you would get into multiple bidding situations?
Well, we had a couple of times that guys say, you know, oh, you sold that car, I'll give you 20 grand more right now. And I'd call the guy that bought it and I'd say, listen, you want to make some money? I'll split it with it.
That's nice.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody ever did it, but...
He made the offer.
It's a good offer.
He made the offer, yeah.
It really
exactly
is.
Right.
Yeah.
Tony and Trumbull.
I have a 1969 Plymouth Roadrunner.
Nice.
Nice.
Love those.
383?
My dad bought it in... Yeah, 383.
Yeah.
Automatic.
Yeah.
My dad bought it when he was on leave from Vietnam.
Wow.
You still have it.
And thank you, Dan, for your service.
So does the horn still go beep, beep?
It does.
All nice. Right.
Damn,
50 grand they paid for
that.
It
needs restoration.
Yep.
It needs restoration, and he hasn't driven in many years. When I was in high school, my dad wanted to junk it, and I said, no, I'll keep it.
Seriously?
So it's been undercover ever since.
Well, get it out.
I'm having a hard time kind of decoding it. It's not a huge option car. It only has power steering as far as, like, you know, major options like that. But it has the better bucket seats. It was platinum. It's platinum on platinum with the black carpet and the black vinyl top.
Nice.
That's great. Sounds like a great car. Lots of fun.
So what I'm looking to do is just see how far I should, you know, should I do a full restoration? I don't want to do a resto mod on it.
Just get it running and drive it first and then...
Take it from there.
Yeah, take it from there. That's the best way to go.
Step. Yeah. How bad has she deteriorated?
Probably something I would never sell, but I'm just curious to see how much, you know, what it would be worth, just, you know, the way it is now.
Well, I mean, restorations, you know, cost a lot of money to restore a car, so, you know, it's not worthless, but yet it's not worth what a driving restored car would be.
Do it in pieces, you know?
Yeah,
quarters here every now and then, stuff like that.
It's a nice tribute to your father.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's original. Your dad's the original owner. I'd hold on to that.
Yeah.
I'm there. It's priceless to me, but
absolutely.
You know, he's saying, hey, let's get going on this.
Nice.
I'm getting old. I want to drive it.
Go
get
for
going.
It.
Time's going by.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Time's flying by.
Be nice to do something with it on Sunday. Try to get it started.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It's Father's Day weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
some quality time.
All right, Tony, we got your project together for the weekend.
Put your dirty clothes on. Go for it.
There you go. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care, man.
Thank you.
Wayne, you have other shows coming up.
Yeah. So Saturday, we have the Klingberg 30th Anniversary Car Show over at the Klingberg Family Centers in New Britain. It's a fabulous show. I've got the Connecticut Dragway Reunion, and that's on Monday, the 20th, down at the New Haven Fairgrounds. That starts at 5 o'clock. And they start the cars up at Cackle Fest at 7.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's loud.
I've got my Bonneville car going to be there. It's got 1,200 horsepower. We start that up at
1,200?
Yeah. It screeches. It's got a screeching sound to it.
You see birds leave trees.
Do you trailer that in, or can you drive it on the road?
No, we trailer it in.
Yeah.
We took it out to Bonneville last year, and unfortunately, my co-driver drove it first, and the transmission blew. First run. So that was the end of that. So we got a new transmission in it now. So hopefully next year we'll go to Bonneville with it.
Holy crap.
And then a week from Sunday, I'll be at the Summer Nights car show. That's at the Berlin Fairgrounds over in Berlin. A fabulous show. Great charity event. John Jarvis and the Summer Nights guys put that on. So hopefully you'll see there. And then I'm going to be up in Ardon, I think it is, Maine.
Ooh.
On Tuesday night, up at Bentley's Saloon, doing a great car show. Bentley Warren was a Indianapolis driver. I've known Bentley for many, many years, and he does a great job. We're going up there on vacation, and my wife says, no car shows, right? I said, just one.
Right, just one. Just one little one, but I'll be hanging the rest of the time.
Yeah, right.
I'll bring it with me.
We'll link up to all things Wayne on the radio station website. Wayne Carini, Chasing Classic Cars, owner of F40 Motorsports in Portland, on the show. Matt in Cheshire.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning, Matt.
Hey, I got a 1971 VW bus sportsmobile with
cool.
The penthouse pop-up.
Oh, cool.
All original.
Westphalia?
All family-owned.
Westphalia camper?
Yep.
Okay, nice. Cool.
Yeah, so it's been in the family since, 1971, garaged and everything.
That sounds great. What color is it?
That mustard yellow.
Yellow and white, yep.
Groovy.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's pretty groovy. Yeah,
put a peace sign on it and drive down the road, you'd be all set.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, the new VW buses are coming out. They're all electric, so that's going to be, it's called the I-4 Buzz.
Right. Ah.
Cool.
I don't know where that came from. Maybe people were buzzed as they were driving them. But, but I have one on order. I can't wait to get it.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
You have enough room for all these cars?
No.
No,
of course I never do.
You built a giant barn.
Yeah, I got the barn.
Full now, right?
Oh, that's full, and we're going to build another garage.
Yeah, nice. You can't stop yourself.
We're supposed to be going. My wife says sell two and buy one. Well, I'm dyslexic, because it's buy two and sell one.
Well, I bought three.
I think Jay Leno's coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse soon.
The 26th.
AJ's
is
going
he?
To the
oh,
show. Are
really?
You going?
Well, maybe I'll go. Yeah, I'll call him. Yeah, I talked to him day before yesterday.
Yeah.
He never mentioned it.
I have to finally meet him. I wanted to meet him for many years.
Really?
My first time meeting him.
I can set that up for you.
Oh, cool.
It's like Santa Claus.
Right, exactly. It's like, he does exist.
I'll take one more quick one here. Tony and Cromwell.
Well, I'm trying to help my father out. He's getting on in age, and he has a couple of cars, but the one I wanted to talk to you about is a pretty rare 32 Buick Model Series 50 two-door Phaeton convertible.
Okay. Yep. So it's a it's a roadster. Does it have roll-up windows?
No, this one's it's almost like a Victoria type convertible. It was they only made like 120 that year.
All right.
Wow. They made a lot of the larger series Buicks.
Yep.
And this body style, but this one has roll-up windows, a real convertible top, glass windows, not side curtains.
Right.
Well, 50 shouldn't. Yeah.
And it's two-door, not four-door.
It's a two-door.
Yeah, okay.
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah, and...
Does it drive?
It runs and drives.
Yeah.
Well, just bring it, battery, but...
Bring it across the river. I mean, you're only a stone throw away from my shop. Bring it across, and we'll take a look.
Yeah, well, actually, the car's at his home in Waterford, so...
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, do you want to sell it? Is that why you're calling, or do you have a question?
Yeah, what are you trying to do?
No, I'm trying to sell it trying to see.
All right, hold on one second.
It does need a few things. It's not perfect.
All right, I got to go to break here, but we're going to put you on hold, Tony. We're going to grab your number, and or you can reach out to Wayne.
Yeah.
Wayne, so great to see you, man. It goes
great
by
to
fast.
Be here with you guys.
Seriously.
We have a list of all things Wayne. You can go see Wayne and see all these great cars all over Connecticut and Maine, if you want to go to Maine.
Maine, yeah. Barrett Jackson and Houston coming up. So we're everywhere.
I'll see you Saturday. I'll see you Monday. I'll see you the following Saturday.
See you a lot.
Thank you, Wayne. What did Dad do that sent you or him to the ER?
Nice.
All right. Stephen Torrington.
And yeah, I'll do you a favor and start at the end and work my way back.
Cool.
My father was working down in Baltimore and drove all the way to Waterbury Hospital with bad kidney stones.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Those are supposed to be so painful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'll take a tough guy down to his knees. So he called my mom on a Friday and said, hey, can you meet me at the hospital in like 4 or 5 hours? I'm not feeling too great. So she's like, what are you talking about? Oh, don't worry about it. Flew all the way home, gets to the hospital. He was in so much pain, covered in sweat, couldn't get out of the car. They had to pull him out of the car and like roll him into the ER. But damn. The typical, you know, I feel fine. I could make it and then drove all the way home.
But Dad, your arm's dangling up. Fine. Yeah, right. I'm fine. Yeah. I still have one good one.
Is that your head on the seat?
I can open the door with this arm.
Right. They hate hospitals.
If I just stay in this lane, I don't need to use my blinker anyway.
Right.
Right. Dad, you have an arrow going through your head. No problem.
Yep.
I didn't want to wear that hat.
I got a place to hang my coat.
Fine.
Yep.
And miss
I'll
my
walk
eyes.
Sideways through the door. It's all good.
Right. Watch your head.
Those are freaking painful.
Yeah.
Really painful.
Mm-hmm. Never have it. I heard stories.
Ooh, bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, bad.
No one ever says, hey, I have kidney stones. Ha! No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like putting a metal spur inside your body.
Oh.
And then peeing it out.
Well, I know. I've had things going in up that way. So,
what's that?
I've had things go up that way and wasn't very pleasant.
No, that's not pleasant either.
Yeah, so
the reverse. Either way,
yeah, the reverse.
Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, when it's a tiny hole and you're trying to put something larger through
it. No, it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But when you put that hose in there,
they had to. It wasn't like a weekend thing. Let's establish that right now.
What's AJ doing on a Saturday
night?
This
wasn't for S&Gs. No, this was to be able to pee.
Yeah, it was
after
a medical procedure.
But
it's a hose. It's smooth.
With
when
a little
stone comes out
with a bump at the end,
it's like some kind of weird space rock.
Yeah,
it's a spike ball.
Yeah, it's a spike ball. Is right.
Yep.
All right, Steve, thank you. You're in the running for the Skinner tickets. It's going to be their last show in Connecticut. It's going to be great. And then the Outlaws open it up for them. And then if you win the tickets, you get in the running for the Smoker.
That's cool.
Dylan and Meriden.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Hello, Dylan.
When I was 9 or 10 years old, my dad did HVAC for a living. He went to go look for a side job. And it was in like a house that was like barely constructed, like half demoed out. And he was talking with the guy about, you know, what he had to do with his duct work and everything. And I started roaming around. And I went into an upstairs bathtub and stepped. I was wearing sandals. And I stepped right through a nail.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah, the nail went right through my foot. Not through the other side, but it went pretty fucking deep in there. And it was all right.
Watch the F-bombs.
F-word.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
Yep.
But
you know what? That sandal's not coming off once you get that nail in there.
No, that flop is flopped, yeah. That's staying on there, yeah.
That's why I don't wear sandals.
No, it definitely did not.
Like
the funny
off.
Part is that's what I do for a living now, so.
Still got nails?
Yeah, you
got
to watch for the nails.
Yep.
Oh, that is such a horrible feeling.
I've done that 3 times already.
Really?
Yeah. We painted houses in a brand new development.
Thank you,
building
Dylan.
Houses and
you're in the running for the Skinner tickets.
A lot of wood.
And what happened?
Couple of times I'd step out of the house, you know, just get done painting inside the house, stepping out, I watch them going, piece of wood is there, or a whole pile of wood, go to step with a pile of wood, step on one part, and goes right through your foot.
See, if I step on one nail,
yeah,
I'm watching where I'm going.
You know what? I did. I did for the most part, but just, you know, it all takes is 2 seconds, and three times, rolling hills.
Bill in Southington.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Oh.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yo.
Hey, when I was a kid, I got a younger sister. She had gotten a pair of rollerblades for her birthday. And my dad had a workshop down in our basement, concrete floor. he was working on his table saw. My sister was on the other side of the basement playing on her rollerblades.
Uh-oh.
Came around the corner.
Oh, man. Hold on.
They have two sisters?
No, he has two half-sisters.
Right? Hey, left, get over here. Hey, right, get over here.
All right, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, she came around the corner and bumped into him while he was ripping down a piece of wood on the saw. Pulled his thumb right into the blade, and almost split the thing right down the middle.
No.
All he said is he grabbed the rag, wrapped it up, and said, "I need a ride." And that was it.
Right. I will kill you later.
That's a bad combination.
He was probably 7 or 8 at the time. So.
Table saw and a young girl on skates.
Rollerblader, yep.
That's a bad combo.
Yep.
I thought she was going to fall into it. So.
Right, yeah.
Not that I'm happy your dad cut himself.
I knew someone was getting hurt.
It's a better ending.
Yeah.
Well, when you say table saw, someone's getting hurt bad.
Seriously, yeah. It wasn't like you had a sandwich. Oh, damn it, I cut my sandwich.
Just what I wanted.
Yeah. My panini.
That's funny. I've never cut a sandwich on a table saw.
That'd be kind of funny, wouldn't it?
I think lettuce would go everywhere. The bread would have to be very stale for this being what I'm picturing.
Or the real Italian bread with the crunchy outside.
Yeah.
Just like me. How to make a 1-footer into a, like, 4 different sandwiches.
Awesome. That's what those toothpicks are for.
Exactly.
Right.
Hold it in place.
Hold them together.
Hold it in place. The supermarket does it.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. Great story. Steven East Haven.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hello.
Me and Ashley.
Hello.
When I was growing up, we had dirt bikes.
Nice.
I think it was a Honda 250. It was a nice bike. And,
yeah.
First time my father decided he's going to take it out in the woods, I came home and he's his legs all taped up out on the sofa, and he wiped out and cut his leg, got like 15 stitches.
Ouch. How was the bike?
Oh, the bike was great. That bike was a tank. You couldn't hurt it.
The Elsinore's.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was an Elsinore M250, I think.
Yep.
It was a nice bike. And he goes, how did you ride that thing in the woods? I don't know.
Successfully?
Down. Yep.
Ooh.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
What the hell is that?
Just took his penis out.
Oh, God.
Wow. It's interesting that doctors know how many stitches. You know, I'd lose count.
Right.
Especially 15, okay, that's right. Fine because I can go back and count.
Uh-huh.
But those stories you hear where it's like, I had 87 outside and
30 inside.
30.
Yeah.
What? How to do the inside? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, some little team
surgeons. It's like a double zipper.
Yeah.
So you go inside.
Right.
Those dissolvable.
Yeah.
And then the outside.
Yeah.
It's like, man.
Yeah. And nowadays they freeze your skin and stuff like that. The old days, man, they went raw. I know, because I cut my head.
Oh, my God.
That was very painful. You feel the needle going through? Yep.
You ever wait too long to get stitches out? And then you have to yank them out. They get stuck.
Ouch.
Billy Bob and Derby.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, sir.
So, my father, and when I was a kid, we used to have a big ass English Mastiff. His name was Titan.
Titan.
What was wrong with his ass?
Right, well, it was big. It was big. He had to work out. He was Simmons.
Big, he was big as a dog. Everybody in the neighborhood knew him. But my father used to wrestle with him, like on the couch and stuff. And one day, he stepped in between my father's toes and cut my father's toe up real bad.
Oh.
I mean, on the inside, like the wet part.
With the Titan toenails.
And my father, my mom cleaned it up, and he ignored it for like a week or two, and it got really infected. I had to go to the ER because he was trying to be a tough guy about it. And he went to the ER, and he came back home with no toes. He cut all his toes off.
Oh,
what?
My God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right.
You can't wear any flip-flops.
Wow.
Yeah. If my father had diabetes, he smoked like a pack of cigarettes a day, so he had real bad blood circulation.
Oh, okay. So that didn't help, yeah. That's okay. The toes missing, yeah.
So what happened that he finally realized he had to go to the hospital?
Needle turned green?
Foot not fit into a shoe?
Black.
They're all black.
Foot was turned
black.
Black,
yeah. Okay.
That's a good indication.
So the purple, the green,
right.
Nah, this is all.
Just a bruise.
I think it's yellow first.
Right,
and then
just a bruise.
Yeah, it's just fine. Yeah. It'll go away.
Yep, it was time to save the
black.
Toes.
Black.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
That's a different story.
I should go check that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't happy about getting his toes cut off.
How many toes? All of them?
All of them, yeah.
And on that foot.
He ended up getting, he got two more amputations after that. He ended up getting the leg cut all the way up above the knee. First it was the ankle, and then all the way right below the knee because the infection kept growing and growing.
That's a drag.
Damn.
So man. It was all from that or just the diabetes?
It was really from the smoking and the diabetes. My father couldn't quit smoking. His life depended on it.
That's right. A drag, man.
Yeah, just Titan helped. Yeah.
No, it really is.
It's sad. It ended up, eventually, it ended up causing him a stroke and he passed away from it.
Sorry to hear that, man.
Sorry.
Well, no, when you watch that, they're taking the person a piece at a time. It's the foot, then it's a leg, and then they just keep saying,
dismantling you.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Tough.
They're making poor health choices trying to be macho.
Yeah. That's smoking. That's tough to quit.
Yep.
But the toes, man.
Yeah, you gotta keep the toes.
Gotta keep the toes.
Yep.
I don't know how AJ would do without toes.
How you play this little piggy.
You can't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's
gonna deal with it well.
No. Who would? Yep. Really? Yeah.
That sucks.
All right. Billy Bob. One, thank you, man. Sorry about your dad. And put you in the running for the tickets. Mike Payne, a president of Payne's Inc., recycling and rubbish removal on the show. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Okay.
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I'm getting ready for another wave of increased costs that I got to figure out how to handle.
How many trucks? How many people? How does all that work?
We have about 53 trucks and just shy 70 people. We go through a tractor trailer load of diesel fuel a week, which is about just shy 8,000 gallons.
Damn.
So last year, filling up that 8,000 gallon, how much is your tank?
The tank is actually 10,000 gallons, but we need a little reserve, but we go through a tractor trailer load every week.
Every week.
What was that tractor trailer? What did it cost a year ago? What does it cost now?
A year ago, it was about $25,000 every week to fill that tank. Right now, the last load that I paid for was just under $41,000 before this next increase.
That's insane.
And now, what do you think that increase will do? So I'd have to figure out 10 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
Times.
Yeah.
Math lost me already.
It's about $800 additional, and that assumes...
That's what I was going to say, cost, by the way.
Yeah, that also assumes the cost of diesel doesn't go up from the $5.11 that last load was. I'm sure it is,
right?
Because it's now a commodity. But I'm going to have to tighten our belt and try to find ways to save some money and doing everything we can to not have to raise our prices. Some of our contracts have specific limits as to what they can go up, or we've predicted where they're going to be.
Wow.
So it's a tough nut to follow. And, you know, the sad part that many people don't realize is almost everything in the state of Connecticut moves by diesel.
Yeah.
Even many of the trains are actually diesel. And even the electricity we get, where we're all, we've all heard about the increases in the electric rates, that's being driven by diesel, CNG, and those costs. So the cost of electricity is going to go up too.
Hold on, I'm going to vomit. Yeah, I'll be right back.
Right.
Well, okay, I'm back.
It's okay, got it out.
That was quick.
Where do you...
I wish it was that easy.
Right?
I know.
Right? Reset.
Yeah. Well, where do you, as a business person, try to tighten the belt? You can't pull back on the employees. They're hard to find now.
No.
Good ones are hard to find.
They're hard to find, and we have great people here. And the last thing I'm going to do is penalize them for something that's not their fault.
Yeah.
So we're really trying to sharpen our pencil. One of the things we're doing, and it sounds kind of silly, but it's a good thing, is we're going to air dryers instead of paper towels.
Okay.
And you know, it's initial upfront cost, but it will pay us back. A few years ago, we put in a drinking fountain, and so that our employees could, we bought them little coolers to carry with them, so they'd have drinking water with them as opposed to buying soda and all that stuff, because it's not healthy for them.
Yeah.
At some point, when these contracts expire, you'll have to look at the price you're charging these customers.
Absolutely. And it's an ongoing, I mean, I actually have a couple of towns I need to talk to today about the costs and why they went up so much. And even though I'm justified to charge them, if the towns didn't anticipate these increased costs, they're between a rock and a hard place too, because they've already put out their what their mill rate's going to be and what their property taxes are going to be. And if the town's paying for the trash collection or recycle collection, it's within that rate. So you got to be respectful of your customers, whether they're a big municipality or a little municipality or, you know, the person down the street.
Surprised the government would let this 9 cents, this tax. Why wouldn't they call a special session and just say, look, we gotta help people right now?
That'd be nice. The word help.
Yeah.
Yes, help.
I don't get that part of it, especially with an election year. You would think this is going to be a problem, because now this bad economy could be hung around Lamont's neck.
Yeah.
Like it seems like he's been pretty good at trying to head all those problems off in the past.
Yeah, it was going
to
hit him
this
hard.
This one doesn't make sense to me.
Like a boulder.
Like, I don't know why you let that one through.
Yeah.
What they did by reducing the gas tax by 25 cents was wonderful if we had gas trucks, but we don't. We don't have gasoline trucks. We have some CNG trucks. But CNG and diesel, they did not lower the tax rate on. So we're paying the higher rate, and we got no benefit from that.
Yeah. So everything's going to go up as a result of the diesel going up.
Yep. It has to go up. And you know, even if it's incremental increases, and, you know, we have everything from picking up at people's homes to picking up at their businesses to doing large dumpsters for construction sites and everything. All of those costs go up. Even the guys that do the site work and stuff, their diesel costs are up. So it's across the board, and both everything getting delivered. I mean, if we thought the food prices were high before this, they're going to have to go up more.
Oh, how do you think that refrigeration truck runs?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everything's going up.
Yep.
That's wild. I don't really get it, but what are you going to do? I feel for you.
You know?
Thank you.
The people like you actually tighten the belt.
Trying to do the right thing.
And people who run the whatever it is in Hartford, they just say, we'll just get more money out of the taxpayers.
That's all,
There's no belt tightening
like an ATM
concept.
Yep.
You know, Mike, we had some recycling person on from the state of Connecticut yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating to hear the stuff that people put in the recycling bins.
Yeah.
I don't think it was fascinating. I think it's terrifying, but it's wishful recycling, because they're hoping it can be recycled. And I've seen everything from garden hoses to stuff that you know, scrap metal, and ultimately it can, but not in that particular fashion, to yard waste and leaves, and you know, what you end up doing is contaminating everything.
Yeah.
And we heard bowling balls,
an engine block. Yep. Yeah, it's metal thrown in there.
The deer carcass got me.
Yeah.
We're going to make a brand new deer over here.
Right. Yes.
Need the parts.
Yeah.
Recycle
with
and reuse.
Bowling ball head.
Yep.
Yeah, with the bowling ball head. I think we need to educate more, because I learned a lot.
Yeah,
I was throwing stuff in that recycling bin that the guy yesterday, Gary, was saying no.
My Chinese containers, yep.
That's right. Used plastic food containers.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
he rinsed the food off.
Can't do the black plastic anymore.
Yeah,
and you know, and that's part of the misunderstanding, is all of those products that you put in the recycle barrel end up being some kind of commodity, and if the end buyer won't buy it, then all we've done is a very expensive collection system.
No,
gotcha.
And you don't get the returnables, right? You don't get the nickel on the. You don't do that.
No.
That goes
through the facilities, and I mean, I do it personally because that's who I am. But
Yeah.
That would take all day. All those bottles. You roll up to like a ShopRite Eagle. This guy's got a truck load.
Can you imagine 18 tractor trailers pull up? Okay. Stick
Sorry, my bad.
I'll be done in about a couple hours. Welcome back.
It would be my luck. I stop to tie my shoe, and then I get up, and then here go. 18 tractor trailers.
I'll come back. In front of you.
I'll see you next week.
All right, Mike. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And good luck to you. Thank you for creating jobs in Connecticut.
Yeah,
appreciate
good man.
No, doing my best, taking care of good people. So that's what we do. So you guys have a great day.
You
thank
too.
You.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Payne, president of Payne's Incorporated Recycling and Rubbish Removal. Man.
Damn.
Can you imagine that? Just writing out a check for $41,000 a week. Yeah. That's just one bill per week.
A week.
Per
week.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That's just one thing.
Not good.
That's just one thing. That's just one thing.
Just get rid of all the tax on the gas and the oil.
It's just one thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm still, my mind's like, what? Wait a minute.
They should just do that.
It's not repairing the trucks. It's not tires for the trucks.
That's just fueling them up. Yeah.
It's not all these fines and all these fees and like, you know, the LLC thing they charge you.
Yeah, Cool J's. Yep.
$164,000.
Employees and.
Yep.
It's a lot.
I'd be drunk a lot. During the day.
Nick in Middlefield.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yo, Nick.
I'm picking up recycling right now.
Oh.
I just wanted to throw out there one thing that didn't get mentioned yesterday was dirty, used napkins, paper towels, and tissues get recycled all the time. Also, diapers and pee pads, just because it's made out of paper doesn't mean it's clean and should get reused.
Gotcha. Hmm.
Right. Okay. That's a good one.
So you get the paper towel.
What about
that has
like a piece of paper? Right. Like I have a piece of paper in my hand with the story that I just read.
Printed piece of 100% paper.
100% that is recyclable. Okay. Any scrap paper, chunk mail.
Right.
Receipts even.
Receipts? Oh.
Receipts.
Really?
CVS, forget about it.
Keep in mind if you have a bunch of receipts on the top of your can, or let's say you rip up your mail into little pieces and you put it on the top of your can. On a windy day, I'm going to open the lid, and that stuff is going to fly all over.
I've seen it.
Yep.
So you got to keep that in mind, too.
It's like, did we have a parade?
Apparently there was, yes.
We were told not to bag that. What would you recommend doing?
If you know it's going to be a very windy day, I recommend bagging it just because it's better than it blowing all over a driveway. And then there's nothing that we could do at that point when it's all over the ground.
Yeah, so you can literally sell receipt paper back to someone or to someone.
I don't know that. I don't know about the resale value of any of it. I just pick it up and dump it at a dump.
No, but you're saying receipt paper's okay? To me, that would seem like garbage. I've been throwing it out.
I guess there's no food waste on it.
I mean, it could be garbage. It's the fact that it's clean. I feel like it could get reused.
And speaking of, we don't know.
Right. And speaking of, you know, these places cannot give you like a mile supply of freaking paper when you go to like a drugstore and they give you like enough paper to go to the moon with.
A scarf,
Yeah. It's like,
Hey, Nick, thank you for the call, brother. Sounds like you're busy. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. The discounts, the this, the that.
Oh, my God. The coupons. And they hand it back to like reeling it over and just fistful of paper. I'm like, I don't want that. I just can't buy gum.
There is a big waste with just junk mail, too.
Yeah.
There's stuff like I have a process. I get it from the mailbox.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking in it. It doesn't even get in the house. Goes right into the recycling.
I don't even read it anymore.
Nice.
Recycling.
Right.
Right in.
Yep.
Stop printing it.
Right. Bills. Right in the bin.
Yeah. What a waste.
Yep.
Mike in Derby.
Hey, guys. I'm doing my recycling right now. And another big thing that people are throwing away are the used COVID masks in the recycling and used COVID tests in the recycling.
You don't want that in there.
What? Okay. Yeah. What is
all the
thinking?
Because
it's plastic?
All day.
Yeah.
All day. They're throwing them in there with toaster ovens and sneakers. And the list goes on and on.
People are stupid.
Well, no, but this seems like something we need to do. Like, I feel like we stumbled upon a big issue yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Mind-blowing that everybody needs to be educated in this.
Right. No more idiots.
Well, in school, all they told you was recycle, recycle, recycle.
Yeah,
but they didn't tell you what. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So that's what we do. We recycle everything.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Talk
Thank you, Mike.
You too,
appreciate it. The TikTok video. Right.
Yeah.
And it's the Star Wars theme.
Right.
And then you know how at the beginning of the movie, the words scroll up?
Yeah. Oh,
so
wow.
So he scrolls up the reason why.
So this guy made that Star Wars opening with the music, and he listed all of the reasons why his wife won't have sex with him.
Right.
See, and
it's gone viral.
Yeah.
They say we never listen when they talk.
You don't.
That's why I get set to music.
TikTok user at Joe DRAE shared a video that revealed the long list of reasons why his partner had given him over a period of time. Her first excuse was that they did it last week.
Oh. You had last week, for God's sake.
Just
last
a few days ago.
Week. Just last week.
She wanted to cuddle.
Okay.
She felt bloated.
Oh, bloated. Yeah, that's a bad one.
Other excuses involved their bedding.
Right. You're breathing. It's you.
It's easier to just say no.
Yeah. Just say nah.
She seemed keen to avoid sex on days the bedding had just been washed.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to mess it up. You just washed it.
Right. You don't want to make it re-dirty. Right.
I shake your hand, but just washed it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to do it in the bed.
Right. Yeah,
like,
really?
Okay, we got a perfectly good floor right here.
Yeah, location.
Got a couch.
Yeah, right. The hood of the car.
Dining room table.
Right.
Right.
Right. You know, the kids' playset.
Lots of options.
Outside, yeah, exactly, right. Patio, there's a, you know, patio
the
furniture.
Kids' playset.
The kids' playset,
like,
right.
I got in the jungle gym.
Exactly,
she's
right.
She's on the swinging on the bars.
Turn into a rope jungle, right. Both go down the slide.
Rope jungle.
Right, you go down the slide, she goes down the slide. Yeah, you're yeah, I don't. Good. Yep. All these wonderful things you can do. Be creative. Think
room,
outside the box.
Room temperature.
Right. Oh, the room temperature. That's too hot in here. No, it's too cold in here. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Too cold is not a good answer.
Right.
Can I ask you something? If you're not going to have sex, what's the point? You're friggin' roommates.
Yeah.
It's like, hello, friend.
Hey, how you doing? Good.
Hey, how was your day?
Yeah.
Good. How was yours?
Fine.
Great.
Well, I'm going to go to work now.
I'm going to get something to eat.
Right.
Me too.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. I'm guessing now that she's going to put this on the list that you made a video.
Embarrassment.
Absolutely. Right.
His video's going to be on the
right,
list.
Right.
Yeah. Publicly shamed me.
Right.
Oh, let's see if she shows up on his feed now after.
That'd other reasons to decline sex included he was too drunk.
Oh, too drunk. Oh, you're too drunk. Maybe too sober.
Well, you know, I almost agree with that one because it just becomes a sloppy mess.
Exactly, yeah. Right, right.
It's like, what are we doing?
Sometimes
here?
Things will work properly.
Yep. Exactly.
The machinery, right. You know, broke down.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And then it becomes this whole thing. It's
right,
like,
right.
No one's having a good time.
This happens with a lot of guys. Yeah.
Yeah, weird sounds.
Right.
Never good.
Weird
sounds. Weird sounds. What, like horns going off? Ooga.
Like if you eat dinner and then you hear all the liquor bouncing around in your stomach.
Sloshing, okay.
Sloshing,
I'm just picturing like different sounds.
It
like,
sounds like a barrel like, in the bottom of a ship.
What sounds like Tarzan?
Nobody,
right.
Right, nobody can keep a straight face after that.
Yeah, but Jake break.
I think the weird sounds are coming out of somewhere else.
Yeah, fine. Right.
She used the kids as an excuse.
Oh, what? Kids are nearby. Kids can hear us. Kids can see us. We're in the middle of, like, you know,
there,
room.
There is that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's why parents always want the kids to go to bed early. Go to bed early.
Right.
Right. And then sleep tight.
Or here, watch Barney.
And wear these headphones. Yeah.
I only need a minute.
Noise canceling headphones. Right. Just give us 35 seconds.
Yeah.
We're good.
Well, that's romantic.
Oh, man. I've heard people talk about, like, guys talk about this. I'm like, I am never going to be in this situation.
That's 2 minutes of your life, damn it.
I don't need that many minutes. It's not a big deal.
Right, which is longer.
It's not, no, I'm not Sting.
Right.
It's like 24, F you.
Right.
You know it's not true.
You love the national anthem? I'm as long as that.
Right.
You can even sing it. Oh, say,
2 minutes of your life.
Can I bet on the over or under?
Okay. Now, big finish, land. Of the
really
free!
Not that long.
And the home of the brave.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah. Did anybody hear Ashley say on the dining room table, ew, no thanks. I don't want that dinner invite.
Yeah, during dinner. Yeah, exactly. Right. I thought there was stuff in a turkey.
And I don't wash my feet. So
the
dining room table's real dirty.
Gross.
Yeah, I'm going to eat in the driveway. I'm going to eat in the driveway. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I feel for this guy.
That's where the napkins went. There used to be a place sitting there. What happened to it?
Yeah.
Yep.
What did you find on TikTok?
Yeah, she doesn't show up that I can tell.
Oh.
She was probably there, and she made him delete it.
She probably helped him write it.
Well, he left this one up, so.
What was the one you gave me last Thursday?
I don't think women understand guys get married so they don't have to hunt for sex.
Mm.
It's like right in the house. It's like, why wouldn't I do that?
Right. It's why you buy a television set and you have to go to the movies.
Well, did you think we signed up for a debate over where we go to eat, a debate over what we're doing Friday night, a debate over this and that? They're like, oh, yeah, this sounds great. Sign me up.
Right. Instead, you're having stuck having to debate.
No. Yeah. No. No. There's one reason. That's it.
Right.
I don't have to go out to, like, bar. Like, I'm not a caveman hunting. Me must find woman.
Right. I hung my.
Me have urges.
I hung my club up.
And your loincloth.
Yeah, it wasn't fitting anyway, so.
Did you see the last one on his list?
No.
No.
Pretend to be sleeping, but it's S-L-E-E-P-N.
Oh.
Yeah. Sleeping.
That never stopped anybody.
Sleeping. Lieutenant Colonel retired Dan Hampton, former United States Air Force command pilot and instructor pilot. Good morning, sir, and thank you for your service.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I love Connecticut, and I'm happy to be on your show.
Thank you.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I used to go through New Haven all the way, all the time on my way down to New York. I went to school up in Hanover.
Okay.
Oh, really cool. Man, before we end this interview, I'd love to put you on hold and get some kind of contact info from you because I only have 10 minutes with you, and there's a lot to talk about here with the book, your career. Is that possible, you think?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay. Nice. To.
So we're going to end around 9 after, give you time to give us that info so we can follow up. Before we get to this book, you flew like 151 combat missions during your 20 years in the Air Force. Is there one of those missions that stick out in your mind?
Yeah, there's a few of them that do, but we probably don't have time to go into it. But,
yeah.
I'm just glad I'm glad the force was with me or whatever, and I survived it to be here to talk to you guys this morning. I think I got lucky.
We'll get to those the next time we have you on.
Yeah.
There's pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah.
And then just this is a stupid question, then we'll get on to the book. The Top Gun Maverick movie, did you see it? What did you think?
I did. You know, I went through Miramar, part of it, as an exchange guy, and then I went through our fighter weapons school. So I know the environment very, very well. You know, it's Hollywood's take on something. It's good entertainment. You know, it gets people thinking about things maybe they wouldn't think about otherwise. So we'll just let it go with that.
Okay. Gotcha. Your book, Valor, the astonishing World War II saga of one man's defiance and indomitable spirit. This is, I'm just reading about this story. Very incredible, actually.
Yeah, compelling.
Yeah, he was an amazing guy. He was a young Marine lieutenant stationed in the Philippines when World War II broke out. And, you know, he fought all the way down the Bataan Peninsula. Then the Marines all ended up on Corregidor, which is that island, you know, in the middle of Manila Bay. And until the Japanese captured that, they really couldn't use Manila. And so they finally conquered that place. And Bill decided pretty quickly that he'd rather die trying to escape than be a POW. And so that's what the book's about. It's about the next 3 years of him trying to get away from the Philippines and get to China or get to Australia. And, you know, he fought as a guerrilla with Philippine forces and, you know, trying to fight back when he could and escape when he couldn't. And that's what the book's about. It's a fabulous, fabulous story. And I was lucky. I got a 1,500-page unwritten or unpublished manuscript from his daughter. Bill had written it, kind of as therapy, I think, after the war. And so I used that as the basis for the book, and it was a magnificent experience to be able to, you know, be inside this guy's head as he went through this.
You know, you mentioned fought as a gorilla, and that's four words, but, man, just give us a feel for, like, what does that encompass? What is that life like?
Well, you know, it's a bit rough, understandably, but there were a lot of Filipinos that when the American forces were told to surrender, the Filipinos said, yeah, okay, well, this is our country, and if you're ordered to surrender, then you go ahead, but we're going to stay and fight.
Nice.
And so they did, and the Japanese never conquered the Philippines. They never completely conquered the Philippines. And Bill was able to trade his expertise, you know, as a Marine officer and help them train and fight in return for material support like, you know, food and clothes and eventually a boat or two to try to get away.
It's unbelievable how...
Yeah, it was a great story.
Somebody like Bill Harris can really change it, could potentially change the, you know, the course of history.
Yeah.
Yeah, one guy could, and you know, I think to some degree he did, because, you know, it's, you play the what-if game. What would have happened if he hadn't been there? You know, how effective would some of these groups have been? Some of them were very good all on their own. Some of them, no doubt, you know, he really assisted, and, you know, how much damage did that do to the Japanese? And it tied up, you know, Japanese soldiers looking for him and everything else. So, yeah, he did make a difference. He kept trying to get back into what he called the war, but he was actually in the war the whole time.
Man, this sounds like a great movie. Have you talked to anyone about doing this?
Oh, thank you for saying that. I really hope somebody who makes movies can, you know, here's this. I did a show in California a couple weeks ago, and somebody said the same thing. I'm like, I hope somebody gets a hold of it and wants to talk about making a movie, because I agree. I think this would make a fabulous, you know, Gary Sinise or Tom Hanks type of show. It's right up their alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're right outside of New York City, and our signal gets into all parts of that area. And
yeah.
So hopefully someone's listening and wants to look you up. We need
Hey, well, dinner on me if that happens.
Right. Yeah, we need more great stories like this of people, you know, putting their country and others first.
Got to know about this stuff.
It's interesting
yeah,
you say.
I agree. And that's, you know, that's why I write these stories. I think we owe it to these guys to not let these stories die. And people do need to remember. And it's not that Americans don't care. It's just that Americans, you know, are typically not taught a lot of this. And I wasn't either. And I think it's a duty to reveal it and keep it alive.
So we're talking to Lieutenant Colonel retired Dan Hampton, and there's a movie on this guy.
Yeah.
But he's writing a story about somebody else
we'll
to honor
movies.
That person from World War II. Pretty incredible. We have someone on the phone who flew in the Air Force in Thailand?
Thailand.
Hmm. Let's see. Jay, Long Island.
Jay is here.
Okay. You're on with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Hampton.
Good morning, Lieutenant Colonel.
Hey, good morning. Dan's just fine. You can drop the rank.
Name is Jay. I worked on the Grumman F-14, but I was in the Air Force in Thailand and served my last year after Dover, Delaware, watching the bodies come back on the 141. So it was pretty dramatic for 2.5 years to see that. And then I put a volunteer statement in and went to Thailand and served. As close as I get to Vietnam was on the Laos border. Uban Ratchathani on the Moon River in Thailand, and fantastic 4 years Air Force, got a great career out of it, and even worked on an airplane that was in the movie Goldfinger, where he gets sucked out the window. That was a military standard for the colonels and important dignitaries, Jetstar.
Hey, Jay, hold on. Jay,
yes.
Hold on 1 second.
Yes.
Thank you for your service. I want to get your number.
Yeah.
I think you're a segment.
Yeah, cool.
We love it. Lieutenant Dan, we do a lot of work for veterans here, so it's always an honor to have you on, and we couldn't thank you enough. Can't thank you enough for your service.
Seriously, thank you
Seriously.
So much.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.